Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
The same way I was so gorgeous, it was so wonderful to see the sun coming out after the total darkness and all that. And we were talking about it last night. The same way that we are all looking up at the sky, looking in the heaven. The Bible says that it's the same way Jesus Christ will return. Jesus Christ is coming again. And one of these days, you and I, if we are alive, when he comes, we will look up in the sky and see him coming in his glory. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. My Lord and my God. So look at ants and you got a sermon out of looking at the ants. And we did back to school this week as well. This is the first time that we had to go twice. Because Joshua is in middle school and then the other kids are in elementary. And in middle school we went to the different classes and the teachers were speaking and I summed it all up. Come to school early, listen to the teachers, and do your homework. I mean, they said many things. That's what it comes down to. And then I said, excuse me, it all comes down to this. Love God and obey Him, and everything else will be all right. Because some of the Christian walk, I got a sermon out of that too. But let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. the verse that we've been looking at in this season, we are looking at our victorious walk as Christians. How can we walk victoriously down here? What do we need to do? The first Sunday, we look at the place of the Word of God. And the next Sunday, we look at faith. And the last week, I try to summarize everything together. But today, let's look at it from another angle. How we can live and walk victoriously. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. God has ordained that you and I walk victoriously down here. God has ordained that we don't walk in defeat, but we walk in victory. And he's saying that the prerequisite to walk and to overcome this world is to be born of God. Or in other words, to be born again. Yes. To be born into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And then he asks the fact that this is the victory that has overcome the world. Uh-huh. Our faith. He throws faith in there. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And so, our faith is crucial for us walking in victory. You see, it's so important. But he told the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verse 34, that your faith has made you whole. Mm-hmm. Your faith will make you whole. Your faith will make you completely delivered. Oh, when he got to that, when he was going to raise Lazarus from the tomb in John chapter 11, verse 40, he said, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. When we believe, we will see the glory of God. When we believe, we can be delivered. Believing causes us to walk in victory. So our deliverance is by faith.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, our experiencing. I mean, in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, one man came. He needed deliverance, healing for his son. Jesus told him. Oh, he said, Jesus, if you can do anything, help us. Jesus responded, it's not a matter of whether it's up to me or not. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believe. Everything works by faith. Our prayers work by faith. Mark 11, 24. Let's open there. Let's stand there, please. Mark 11, 24. Our prayers even work by faith, by believing. Mark 11, 24. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Notice what he said. When we pray, what are we supposed to do? Mark 11, 24.
Amen.
Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So our prayers also work by believing, or by acting on God's word and believing. When you pray, the moment you pray, believe that you have received, and it will be yours. Take it in the visible realm. Sooner or later, it will manifest in the visible realm. Then the word of God works by us believing it as well. Oh, when we believe the gospel, power is released. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Romans 1, 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the power? The gospel, the word of God, is the power of God. But it only works for those who believe. And it's the power of God for those who believe. When we believe the word of God, power is released. That word salvation there in the Greek encompasses the program of God. It encompasses the work of God. It encompasses our deliverance. The gospel is the power of God. So even for us to receive the virtues in our salvation, we have to walk by faith, receive it by faith. And then notice what he said in John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 12. Last Sunday, someone made a comment that I go very fast. So I wait for everyone to get better. He said, we are sheep, so please give us some time. John chapter 1, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Okay, everyone should be there by now. If you are not there, you probably won't get there anytime soon. Okay, notice what he said. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. The other translation says he gave them power to become children of God. So it is when believing God's word that causes power to be released. That causes power to be released. But then the thing is, our faith works by love. Our faith works by love, or faith works through love. That's so important because Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, we've now discovered the fact that everything works by faith, but then everything also works through love, or faith works by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Notice again what he says. For he says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith works through love. So all things are possible to him who believes. Oh, when you believe the gospel, power is released. When you believe the word of God, power is released. And he said that our victory is by faith, then by straight line equations. By straight line equation, if everything works by faith and faith works by love, then we must also talk about love. If you are going to talk about victorious Christian living, that's where I was going with that. Glory be to the name of the Lord. In Christianity is defined as the faith. He defined it as the faith. So everything works by faith. And then he's saying that faith works by love. Then that's also very important. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 10. Acts 6, 7, he calls Christianity the faith. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Acts 6 and verse 7. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh no, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Okay, yeah. If you already got Acts 6, 7, let's do that one. Acts 6, 7. Notice what he says. He says, and the word of God continued to increase, and that the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So here he's saying that a great many many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Christianity is called the faith. It's called a faith. Okay, now 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Back to this regularly scheduled program. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Okay, notice. Our Lord. Alright, so notice what he says. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows what a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him. So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But he said that he has given us the Spirit of God to reveal the very depth of God to us.
It takes the Spirit of God to access the deep things of God, to reveal the deep things of God. But notice that he connects it to love. You see, when the Spirit of God reveals the Word of God to us, when the Spirit of God gives us insight, then we can believe, and when we believe, we are empowered to become, like John 1:12 said. But then to get to that point, he's saying, all those things have been prepared for those who love him. The deep things of God are prepared for those who love him, and by the Spirit of God, who knows the deep things of God, who knows the depth of God, he reveals those things to us. But it takes maintaining that love relationship with him. It takes maintaining that love walk with him. You may have a neighbor living next to you, and that neighbor may travel outside. That neighbor may be gone. And if you are not, if you don't know them very well, you will know where they have gone to. But a friend or someone who knows them very well will know the details of his itinerary. This week he's in China. Next week he's in Europe. Next week he's in some place else. That person who is in a relationship with that person, they may live right next to you, but the person with whom they are very close to, they reveal certain things to them. So he's saying here, what God has prepared for those who love him. Throughout the epistle, a lot of times he mentions faith and love when he's writing those letters to them, because those things work together. It takes love to draw out of the deep things of God. And when we believe and love him and act on what he says, then we'll walk victoriously. Now, here, notice what he said. It's not just loving him in word only, but in deed and in truth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. It says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Don't just love God with your talk. Don't just love God in word only. Love him in deed and in truth. Love him, because that's where all other things flow from. Loving God and having a passion for him, that's where everything else flows from. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40. Don't just love in word, in the way they say talk. Well, they say talk is cheap. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 22, 36. He says, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. They hung on these two laws. But the first one is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. All the plans, all the purposes, all the promises, they hung on that law. Like James said, imagine having a drying line with clothes hanging on it. Everything hangs on that law, he said. All the law depend on this. And then notice what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All the laws and the prophets hung on loving the Lord with our all. And he says, Romans 8, 28. And we know that for all those who love God, all things, a few things? No. For those who love God, all things work together for good. Oh, this morning, as you sit under the influence of the word of God and make a commitment that God will be first in my life. I will love God with my everything. Anything in your life that appears not to be working, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray they begin to work. All things work together. For those who love God, if you meet somebody who loves God, oh, today things may appear not to be working, but if they continue and are steadfast in their love walk, sooner or later, all things will begin to work together for their good. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, as you make a commitment, oh, that you will love God, in Jesus' mighty name, may everything begin to work together for your good. If that's you, say a big amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, because you see, anyone who loves God and dwells in God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. My Lord and my God. Anyone who walks in love walks in God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I'm about to run around this building. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Amen. Fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. But he says, we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love. And so when we love him, he says God abides in him, and whoever abides in love abides in God. We enter an area where there is no failure. We enter an area where we are dwelling in God. We enter an area, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 18, that love never fails. So if love never fails, and if when I abide in love, I abide in God, that is the way I'm choosing. That is the path I've chosen to go. Because there is no fear in love. When you are abiding in love and you are abiding in God, there is no fear there. There is no failure there. There is no sickness there. You are dwelling in the presence of Almighty God. And we are talking about the Creator of the heavens and the earth. We are talking about the one that created it all. You are dwelling and your abode is in heaven. My Lord, and everything that responds to God will respond to you as well. You see, all the people in Hebrews chapter 11, I call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. That's the class that I will be listed in. Because at the end of that chapter, he said, they without us will not be perfect. So they are waiting for us. They are listed in that hall. I pray that you will be one of them. But the characteristic of everyone in that chapter is that by faith this person did this. By faith this person did this. By faith this person did this. When I trace all of them, it was their love for God in their generation that made the difference. Think about Noah. For 120 years, people were mocking him. But you are saying that God, if there's a flood coming, Noah kept building the ark and getting ready. Because love endures. He was faithful to his God. Everybody around him decided that this time, it doesn't matter. But he, when it came down to it, he and his family were the only ones that escaped the flood. When the flood came and the whole earth was destroyed, and everybody in it, I'm sure Noah, my good friend Noah, he will be in the ark and with his family, sailing far above the flood, sailing far above the flood. When he was calling people, and when he was telling people that there was a flood coming and there was nothing, there appeared, there was nothing on the sea, they were mocking him. But love endured. He loved his God and stayed true to his word. Thank you, Lord. Take, for instance, Abraham. He says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, you see, when we love God, it's easy to obey him. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Nothing obeys like that. John chapter 14, verse 21. Notice what he says. Thank you, Lord. John 14, 21. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Notice, he has my commandment and keeps them or obeys them. He is the one that loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. But the Father who sent me. If you love me, you will keep my word. And when you keep my word, I will manifest myself to you. I will reveal myself to you. I will come and make my home with you. Oh, this season, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, as you make a commitment that you will love him and keep his word in any area of your life where you need God to reveal himself, may he reveal and manifest himself. May he become real to you in this season.
Yes, 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 yes.
Love me and keep my word. I will reveal myself to you. I will come and make my home with you. Oh, when he comes and makes his home with you, he will ensure that you are taken care of. But he said, I love you, but you make a commitment and you will love me and keep my word. You will love me and keep my word. Think about Moses. Think about Moses. He loved God. He was in the palace of Pharaoh. One day he saw the suffering of his people. The love of God drove him. The love of God compelled him. I must do something about it. How can I live in, how can I be free in this palace and my people are suffering like this? The passing drove him. It drove him. He started out on the wrong foot. That's not the right way to start your ministry, by killing somebody. and he ran away. But later God appeared to him. The intent was there. But he loved God. And he was passionate after God. He was passionate for the people of God. Notice what he says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. We are talking about our love for God this morning. Hebrews 11, 25. Oh, verse 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. He considered the invisible. He endured when he considered God. When he endured when he considered God, he was willing to forsake everything. He considered the reproaches of Christ greater. And he was willing to go and step up and going to do. And who has the revelation? Think about it. The revelation of the story of creation came to that man. It came to that man. And up to today, the scientists are beating their heads against the wall. They cannot dispute it. Thank you, Lord. But the secret of the Lord belongs to those who fear him. Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret, that's what we are about to hear. He started. God has prepared for those, no eye has seen nor ear heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. But he chooses to reveal those secrets to those who love him. Job got to the point in Job chapter 13, verse 15. He said, even if he slays me, I will still trust him.
Yes.
He was willing. He was willing, even though he didn't understand what was going on. He was willing that he will follow God. Sons of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. Love is as strong as death. When you get to that point, nothing else matters. That is where Job got to. And then who you know what he said in Job chapter 29, verse 4? He said, I was back in the days when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. He was trading divine secret to be able to walk successfully. My Lord and my God, when we walk with the love of God, having a love and a passion for God is the catalyst of our destiny. That's what propels us to what God has for us. Thank you, Father. I pray this morning that may the love for God overtake you today and cause your faith to be working. If that's you, say a big amen.
Amen.
Oh, think about Gideon. He's listed there in Hebrews chapter 11 as well. He got to the point, how can I be, why can this Midianite be harassing our life? How can they be harassing our life? Where is the God? Where is our God? And drove in every one of those people. The love of God drove them. Daniel, he got to the point, the king made a decree that no one should pray to any other God in the land. He said, forget it. There's no way I can not live here and not talk to my God for 30 days. Forget it. I will open the windows to my the windows to my room and let everyone see me praying to me to my God three times a day. And when they threw him in the lion's den, the lions couldn't eat him up. God sent his angel and delivered him. When you stick with God, God will stick with you.
Yeah.
He will never leave you. Not forsake you. Same for those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, the king made an image. Everybody bowed down to it. They said, no, forget it. Even if our God doesn't deliver us, we will not bow down to this image. And because they loved God and they were dwelling in love, they were dwelling in God, the fire did not have power over them. Well, Daniel and all these people got promoted on the basis of their love for God. On the basis of their love for God. He who dwells in love dwells in God. And when you dwell in God, you cannot be defeated. When you dwell in God and in love, you cannot be defeated. Love never fails. You cannot be defeated. Everything that cannot stand the presence of God, everything that cannot stand God will not be able to stand before you.
Right.
Notice what he says in Psalm chapter 24, verse 7. Psalm 24, verse 7. Psalm 24, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Psalm 24, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 24, verse 7. He says, lift up your head, O gate, and be lifted up, O ancient door, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O gate, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. So when you love God and when you dwell in his love, you have entered that area. Any gate that seems to be closed, any door that seems to be closed, that is meant to be opened. Jesus, I pray those gates open. I pray those doors open. In the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you, say amen this morning.
Amen.
Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye open and let the King of glory enter in. Let the King of glory enter in. Let the King of glory enter in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Love for God. Solomon loved the Lord. And when God came to him and asked him, what do you want? He said, oh Lord, you have given me a great people. I have a heart for your kingdom. I have a heart for your people. Oh, give me a wise and understanding heart to be able. He was kingdom minded. And God said, well, I mean, if you have wisdom, and to be able to, if you have wisdom, you didn't ask me for wealth and riches, but I've added all those things to you. But he started from the standpoint of Solomon loved the Lord. The love of God is what caused him. That's what kept him. First Kings chapter 3, verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord. And then later on, all the kings of the earth came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He ended up as the wealthiest man of his day. But the key was, Solomon loved the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, love is a choice. Love is a choice. We decide to love God or not to love Him. It's a choice. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to them. I can go into 10 different directions now. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You see, he told the church in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 to 2. Glory be to the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. He's saying, I want to espouse you to one husband. I want you to make him the object of your love. Make him the object of your love. I want to espouse you to one husband. And then later on, he says something similar to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Notice what he says. Verse 22 says, Ephesians 5, 22. He says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body. Notice, and is himself its savior. The other translation says, he's the savior of the body. And later on, he talks about this whole relationship. Then verse 32 says, this mystery is profound. I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church.
Yeah.
So he said, what he's saying is, he's repeating it in a different way. I want to espouse you to one husband. I want to espouse you to Christ. I want you to be the object of your living. And he said that he is the savior of its body, of his body. My Lord and my God. Oh, if you were married to somebody and you had the power, would you let that person be sick? No, you would do, you, if you had the power that that person will not be sick, you would do everything that that person won't be sick. He's saying that he is the savior of its body, of his body. When we get married to Jesus, when we love him so much, more than everything else, it will ensure that we are taken care of. But that love question has to be set up. That love question has to be settled. That last question has to be settled. He asked Simon Peter in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. Simon Peter, do you love me? Simon Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, you love me more than all these things. He said, yes, Lord, I love you. Then he said, feed my sheep. Feed my love. Feed my sheep. Feed my love. He said, if you love me, show the sincerity of your love. So prove the sincerity of your love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. He said, prove the sincerity of your love. If you love me, don't not just love me in word only. Show it in your actions, Peter. Show it in your actions that you love me. Thank you, Father. And then in David, I love this man, David. David was a man after God's own heart. When God was looking for a king, he looked out throughout the land. He's calling a man after my own heart. Let me know, I can tell you, people that love God, no matter where they are, God will find them.
Amen.
When they came to choose a king, someone got to the house of Jesse to choose a king. They brought the first one. He said, this is not the one. And second person, it's not the one. All the people came. He said, the person that I'm looking for is not here. Is there anybody else here? He said, we will not sit down until this person comes. We will not sit down. God will always find the people that love him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord. And you found him. And he went from being a shepherd boy to being a king over the whole land. Oh, as you endeavor to love God, you, no matter where you are, get ready. God will set you on high. That's going to be my last point. We are coming to that one. But anyone who loves God also loves his word. Number one, they love his word. Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Anyone who loves God loves his word. He says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation. This is David here. It is my meditation all. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. But he cried out, I love this exclamation mark there. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. People that love God, love his word. And it was David as well who said in Psalm chapter 122, verse 1, I was glad. People that love God, let us love his heart. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. Let us go to the house of God. And then also he says in Psalm 84, verse 7, and downwards, Psalm 84, verse 7, he loved his house. He can't love God and not love his house. Psalm 84, verse 7, notice what he says. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Oh Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your cause is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. They who love God go from strength to strength. Last week, one of you testified. He came into the service with a spell of dizziness. By the end of the service, he testified and said, all the dizziness is gone. Everyone appears in Zion. Everyone appears in the house of God and go from strength to strength. And I'd rather be keeping the house of God than to dwell in the house of the wicked. If you love God, you love his house. You love his house. Thank you, Lord. And then number three, when you love, giving becomes a delight. Giving your life, giving of your everything that you have, it becomes a delight. When you love God, glory be to the name of the Lord. It's not a pressure anymore. That's what he was saying to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8. It approved the sincerity of your love by your giving. And think about it. It all started, this whole thing. When God wanted to get his family back, the classic text of the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave. Love always gives. Love always longs to give. For God loved this world that he gave, that whoever believes in him should not perish,
Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that number four, when you love, you obey. When you love, you obey. We've already looked at that. You love and you keep his commandment. Notice what he says. We are back in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 again. 1 John, that chapter, the great chapter on love. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not grievous. When we love, we obey. But this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not grievous. And it's not hard to obey God. Just love him and obey him. Love him and obey him. Love him and obey him. You dwell in God. You dwell in love. And there is no failure in love. And he will set you high above. Oh, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Psalm 91, verse 14. Thank you, Lord. This is the same person that loved God. Psalm 91, verse 14. Psalm 91, verse 14. You love his word. You love his house. You love to give. And then you love to obey him. Life gets interesting when you get in that lane. Psalm 91, verse 14. Notice what he says. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. But he says, because he has set his love on me, because he has made me the object of his love, I will set him on high. Oh, as you endeavor and as you make a choice to love God and to serve him, I see you being set on high. I see you being set on high. If that's you, say a big amen.
I want to raise this pulpit and lift it up.
There is protection in there. When you love him, I will deliver him. I won't protect him, because he knows my name. And when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Oh, as you set your love on him, I see you being delivered. I see you being protected. I see him answering when you call. And I see him rescuing you when you are in trouble. All these benefits I bestow for those, I lay that for those. No, who love him? No wonder he said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. Lord, I love you. When you wake up in the morning, Lord, I love you. What do you want me to do for you today? How can I be of service to you? And of course, when we love him as well, we tell other people about him. It comes naturally. It comes naturally. It comes naturally. It comes naturally. It's not for. He's the object of your love. Somebody's around me that hasn't heard about Jesus. Somebody's around me who hasn't heard about Jesus. Lord, help me to reach out to them. You see, that for me, that's what I keep saying. That's what I signed up for. When I was in high school, I went to a boarding high school. So when we vacation, sometimes my parents would pick me up, or sometimes I'll take a bus at home to go home. That was about an hour journey. But every time I got into the bus, oh, my heart was burning for the people. This may be the last opportunity. This could be I will not see this person again in life. So by walking there, oh, and I'll say, let's close our eyes. Sometimes the bus would have started moving.
And I say, let's close our heart, of course, except the driver. No, driver, please drive. Don't close your heart.
We need to get safely to our destination. But I'm like, Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Everybody close your heart. And then we'll pray. And after that, I say, Jesus, if Jesus wants to save you, God sent him to deliver you from your sin. God sent him to redeem you from the power of sin. Today, he's here in this bus. Are you willing to accept him, the gift of God that he's offering to you? I am not ashamed. Driver, keep driving on, but everybody in this bus has to hear the word of God. I just love Jesus. And today, if there's somebody around me who doesn't know Jesus, they have to hear the word of God. And people will give their life to Jesus right there in their bus. I've set my love upon him. Oh, so long as we make that choice. Well, he's the object of our love. Lord, help me. Your occupation in life may be different, but every day we have friends. They may be our neighbors. They may be our co-workers. Today may be their last day before they step into eternity. Lord, help me to reach out to somebody. If you do that consistently, that's what he said. He will set you high. That is what I've signed up for. This city, everybody must hear the gospel. This nation, everyone must hear the gospel. In our generation, everyone must hear the gospel. Lord, what can we do? Starting right here in our neighborhood. I still do that today. To this day. That is from now till eternity, or before Jesus Christ comes, this is who I am. From now before the eye comes, this is who we are. We love God and we'll serve him for the rest of our life. And do that, there is no failure in life. It will set you high above. All things will work together for your good. Everything that is not working, as you set your love on him, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that it begins to work. If that's you, say that big amen.
Amen.
Oh, I'm excited.
I can pray from now till midnight. Let's close our eyes and pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, he's so good. Thank you. Talk to him. That love issue has to be settled. That love question has to be settled. Thank you, Lord. That love question has to be settled. That love question has to be settled. That love, where? He said, my son, give me your heart. My daughter, give me your heart. There is no failure. There is no way you can walk victoriously as a Christian when you are not walking in love. Talk to him. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to love you more and more. Help me, help me, help me to set my love on you. The Apostle Paul said, I want to espouse you to one husband. Your maker is your husband. Your maker is your husband. I want to espouse you to one person. He said, this is a mystery. It's a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. In the mighty name of Jesus, when you love him, oh, you abide in love. Oh, there is no sickness in God. There is no failure in God. There is no failure in God. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. But our faith, where's to love? Or where's my love? Settle that love question this morning. Settle it between you and God. I will set my love upon him. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of Allah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. All things work together for those who love God and are God according to his purpose. Oh Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And this morning you may be watching online, or you may be listening, and things are not working. Check your love area. Things are not working. Maybe you don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ to start with. That's unfortunate. But today you can start a relationship with the one who makes things work. With the one who makes things work. Oh, if you're listening to this after the fact or watching us or listening, just say that you are willing. Oh, the failure has been one failure after another. But today you want to begin a life of victory. Victorious Christian life. Just say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to die for.
Today, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And thank you, I'm saved. And maybe at one point, you knew Jesus, but you walked away from that marriage relationship. You walked away from that relationship, and things have begun to go downhill. But you say, I am coming back to God. Just say, Lord Jesus, take me back. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Help me to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name.
We give our lives.
God, show us areas and ways where we can reach out to other people with this love. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a big shout. Say amen.
Amen. All of heaven.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.